Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello. This is new, isn't it?
Ooh, we've got new stuff. Wow, we always have new stuff. We do new stuff so often. These people are spoiled.
We do. Yes. But this is an experiment. A brand new show within a show that is on the Musicals with Cheese Patreon or podcast stream.
Yeah.
So this is a brand new show called Make Me a Musical, where me and Andrew literally take anything and try to make it into a musical. Now, in theory, it could be like a movie or an event, but really it could be literally anything.
Movies and books are probably the obvious ones, but I think we've got some wacky ones planned too.
Oh, we have some insane ones planned. Like, this doesn't just have to be media that already exists. This could be clean slate idea setting. But this is an idea that is just, like, stretching our creative bones to see how we would adapt something into a musical using the musical theater structure and the stuff that we promote on our regular podcast every day. And, Andrew, what are we trying to turn into a musical for this very first episode of Make Me a Musical?
Well, we didn't originally have a plan, but then I watched Inception, like, 5 days ago, 3 days ago. It wasn't that long ago, and I messaged Jess about it, and all of a sudden, now we're doing this. So, Inception.
Inception, the musical! So, let's just sum up what the plot of Inception is.
Quickly sum this up. Like, it's real simple.
I mean, it kind of is. Literally, it's this guy named Cobb who goes into dreams to steal ideas. And he has a lot of baggage because his wife died and he might have been the cause of it. Spoilers. Oh, yeah, spoilers for Inception. Maybe we should say that. We're just going to spoil the hell
actually,
out of it.
Actually, why don't you just add that to the beginning of the episode? Spoilers
of course.
The thing.
Yes. So it's about this guy, Cobb, who goes into dreams with like his gang of like buddies. But he has a lot of baggage with his wife, and he's trying to get home to his kids because he was framed for the murder of his wife. All right?
Yeah.
It's actually a fairly simple story.
It's
of a man with a basic need.
It's something where the story itself is very simple, but there's all of these nitpicky nerds that exist that want to make it seem like it's way more complex than it is because they like to point out plot holes.
Well, it's both sides of it. There's the other nerds that want to try to claim it's more complicated than it is because they want to feel smarter than you.
Yeah, yeah.
For understanding.
And really, like, yeah, both of them are wrong.
Yes. This is like the most simple action plot like ever. It's like people that say that Terminator is confusing. It isn't. It's just a very interesting idea with a very simple story around it.
It's like the definition of the term high concept, where it's like this big idea, but everything else about it is simple. I don't know.
I mean, I get it, but that's like the best musical is a complex like surroundings with a very simple idea. That is the Emoji Musical, for example.
Emoji Land Musical, you should say.
Yeah, exactly. Or even like My Fair Lady, which is a complex like idea about linguistics, but it's really about a man and woman slowly learning to like each other more.
So this is a new thing. Where do we start? Do we start with who is the main character? Do we start with...
Well, the main character of this one is obviously Cobb, as played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Very obviously. This one is very simple.
But yes, it's super simple. So he has the very direct want, but we got to start with what is our opening number?
Well, I feel like you have to do something to introduce the idea of the dreams. So I think the opening number should be less to do with any of the emotional elements or characters and more to do with... like the job.
Literally, they can. This is an opportunity to like say these are the rules of our world. We are in a dream right now, and this is our goals.
It's kind of how the movie opens already.
Yeah, but they kind of wait until the middle to explain everything because you have that affordability in a movie. Wherein in a musical, within the first 15 minutes, you have to set up your rules and follow it throughout. In the first 15 minutes, you have to set up both the world and the way it works. So I imagine we start with just like Cobb talking directly to the audience and the world kind of developing around him, kind of like, oh, what a circus, as the opening number unfolds around him. Which
what
would
if
be like...
what if we took the Arthur character, which is his point man?
Yes.
What if he's more of like a narrator type a little bit for some of the more direct story exposition elements instead
or,
of Cobb?
I mean, you could always make Michael Caine that and just get some older veteran Broadway actor out there to like speak exposition like the narrator in Into the Woods.
You could. I think this is the type of story where you want that exposition dump.
Yes.
Because, I mean...
Actually, nope. I'm disagreeing. I feel like Arthur doesn't have enough to do with the plot. And our closest point of view character is Ariadne, played by Elliot Page in the movie.
Yes. No, that's... she would be a good character to do that.
Yeah, so we start with her, and she's like, here's the world, and here's Cobb, and he, like, set up the world, and then after that opening number, like, just showing them... trying to do the Inception job and failing, like, throughout it. And you set up, like, musical themes of dreams. You set up his wife theme because she shows up in the dream.
Yeah, and you can
just
do the job that they initially do. I forget what the name of the company they were hired by was. What was it? It was something engineering. But the one for Saito.
Yeah, Kobol Engineering or something like that.
Yeah, it was Kobol Engineering. That's what it was. You could do that as the opening number and have that has the dream within a dream elements. It has the
it explains everything, and then you have the very useful tool of Ariadne explaining exactly what's happening and how it's happening.
And it would actually be very concise because you're introducing probably four of the most important characters right away, or five of the most important characters right away.
The five most important characters right away. Thankfully, we're benefited by the very good directing and storytelling of Chris Nolan from the movie that also kind of work.
Although we would also be adding Ariadne in there as a narrator who, in the movie, she doesn't show up till later.
Yes, but I think setting her up earlier is a good move for musical storytelling. So that opening number, think of a title right away. What's the title?
Oh my goodness. Honestly, I don't know. You could...
Honestly, we could just call it opening. Because there's probably a lot of things, and it's just setting up themes as opposed to being a proper song.
Yeah, you could call it something
kind of like the Into the Woods opening, where there's just a lot of doing, or even prologue, because that is all it is.
Yeah, like, there's going to be a lot happening, and it's going to be a mix of exposition and, like, an action set piece, so...
Yeah, so official title, prologue, that's it. Then we're out the dream, we start the story proper, and Leo DiCaprio, Cobb, is on his own, and he wants to see his kids again. That is his main driving goal. He is excised from the country for the false murder of his wife, and he wants to get back to America to see his children again.
Do you think we should cut to the chase and just have Saito immediately offer him the job that could get him back, and then he's like, I don't know, like, how do you want
to structure that? Because you it's the same thing. We need to know what he wants and then get the offer so we understand how important that offer is to him.
That's true. So it has to be something, there needs to be something after the prologue between Arthur and himself, and then that leads into this I Want
his
number.
I Want song.
Yeah.
Which is called, it has to be something about, like, I dream of something, or is that too on the nose?
It might be too on the nose. Maybe.
What if it's, like, in all my dreams I drowned, or something like that?
What if it's something
I don't want the word
memory
I want
oriented, because the kids in the movie are not dreams, they're memories.
Oh, why don't we just be like, I don't know their faces? Like, that could be, like, a good name, like, and a good pun. That's his I Want song. I don't know their faces, and it's all about, like, how he's, like, been gone so long that he can't even remember his kids' faces, and that's all he wants, without saying, I want to see my children again.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be too direct. I mean, it's not about that. I think that's actually quite good.
All right, so we got our opening number, the prologue, and what that does, the I Want song, I can't remember their faces, and then we're off to the races. We get the offer of, like, do Inception on this guy.
Do you
want to
do, like, offer is, like, a song number, like a duet?
No,
hear me out, hear me out.
All right.
That can come back as a reprise near the end, because that's another, that's where in the movie, the first time the line, leap of faith, old man filled with regret, that's the first time that's spoken, is when he offers the job.
I think it should be just like a short song like moment of Saito saying Leap of Faith, and that's literally his song title, and that's his recurring theme. Like, it has to be a real quick thing, because like literally it has to be like this real quick thing, like take the leap of faith, and he's like, all right, what's the job? Lights up, and we introduce our main goal, Killian Murphy's character.
Yes. Oh yeah, he needs his own number. Oh my goodness, his plot is fantastic. In the movie, like, it's so downplayed too, but it's great.
I feel like we need to upplay him. He is literally the spine of the story.
In a way, yeah. Well, I mean, he's almost like parallel to Cobb's character in a way. Like their stories go with each other. I don't know. I think. He definitely needs to.
What if he
more.
Just has a small reprise of Cobb's number where he's like, he doesn't know my face? Like, something like that.
It's like the opposite. It's like the father who doesn't know his kid.
Exactly.
But it's the kid's perspective.
This is coming together.
Okay.
All right, I like that. So his song is like a variation on Cobb's I Want Number, but it's his I Want Number where his dad doesn't see his face. And yeah, that works. All right, we introduced him. What is Killian Murphy's character name again?
Fisher. I don't know his first name.
Fisher's fine. All right, and then after that point, like, we introduce him. It's just fun
Do
songs at this point where it's like
cut
getting
out
the gang together.
A lot of the other gang members, because we already have a good amount of cast here, and I mean, in the movie, they're all important, but we could trim it probably down.
I feel like the only one we need to introduce at this point, because we can cut out the gentleman that drives the car, like that.
The chemist.
Name, but yeah, we don't need him. The only one we need to introduce is Tom Hardy's character, Eames. Eames, yes. He needs to be the fun, jolly, drunken kind of number. And we introduce him a little bit more bombastically than the movie. He has his own drunken number, which is our charm song. It's going to be this fun moment to, like, levity, because it's been pretty serious here. So we need to introduce this more comedic, boisterous character. And instead of just finding him at a bar, he's, like, leading the bar in a chant, trying to distract them so Cobb can escape.
That's fun. Yeah, that's fun. I feel like you can
you can
mention the chemist in passing, but I don't think he needs any songs or anything. Maybe just like an extra or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And Ariadne doesn't, like, we've kind of been with her this entire time, so we don't really need to give her her opening song.
She doesn't need an introduction song.
I don't think she even needs to be, I don't even think she's a character that sings, so
you
to
could
say.
Give a song, like, just called, like, The Architect or something, just describing, like, what they do.
I feel like she gets sung at more than she's talked or sings herself.
Yeah, maybe even have a song number about by Cobb about what her job is, but have it more be about how he can't do that job anymore because of his own distress or whatever.
Right, like that's a like she is not the one that gets the big numbers in this. As sad as that is.
Well, in the movie, even she's not really. She's more of the fish out of water character because
she
doesn't know what's going on.
She reacts to things rather than have a goal. So basically we're off to the races. We've introduced all of our characters. We've introduced our problem. And the question is, like, we're building up to all this, and here's the question. How should we end Act 1 is the question. Because I feel like this is both going to be longer, but also a more condensed version of Inception.
Okay.
Follow me here. We also have to change this to a two-act structure. So it's all building up to the plane flight where we've, like, done all this, like, planning and getting the team together. It's been fun, but here's where shit gets real. And Act 1 ends with them all getting in the plane and going into Inception, and Act 2 is in the dream world.
You could do that. I'm worried that you're crushing too much of the narrative down into Act 2, because Act 1 in the movie also kind of ends when they go in.
Andrew, let's be clear. There's not much narrative in Act 2 or in the post-dream thing. You learn, what do you learn in each thing? They're very, very quick plot pieces. There's a lot of nice action sequences, which can be cool, but plot-wise, there ain't much after you're in the dream.
I suppose. Well, if that's the case, then I think we need to have the one number as well with Cobb's, like, there's the one dream before they go onto the plane where Ariadne and Cobb are in Cobb's dream where it's all his memories, and we see the basement or whatever where we find out somewhat what is going on with his wife, but we don't fully find out. I feel
like that is an important element in Act One. Like, that definitely needs to be a scene. And I think it's going to not be in a traditional, like, number type. It's going to be in, like, an argument confrontation song where it's, like, real intense, real, like, brought up to intensity.
Well, we haven't talked much, but I think Mal needs to be a character that has her own theme and...
Oh, 100%.
Is a character unto herself.
Her song would literally be called "You're Waiting for a Train."
Or something, yeah, something similar to
When
that,
the train arrives. Something like that. Something like taunting, teasing that means the thing that it means there, which is you're about to get hit by a train and you ruined my life.
Yeah. Okay, so then, yeah, we could close, you could close it all with them getting onto the airplane and have it be kind of a four-man, like a one-day more kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, because it's also like Fisher... He's getting on this plane to decide his fate for the company. And Ariadne's like, I'm worried about, like, Cobb's, like, mental state. Everyone has, like, their own, like, thing. And you're like, oh, boy, I wonder how this is going to be in Act 2. I wonder what the dream world's going to look like. Then we get there, and I feel like this is the time where the aspect of being on stage in theater is really a helpful tool because you can do wacky dream stuff in a way... that you don't have to keep it grounded. You could just have people flying all over the place or just things happen and stage trickery.
I think wires would be a very big aspect of this. We could be the next...
Yes.
It would be the next Spider-Man musical. More people would be injured performing this.
Or even Peter Pan-like. Like, wires are fine. But I don't think they should hold as true to, like, the specific placement of the dreams. I feel like
it's
not going to be as interesting on stage. You have to kind of find a more abstract way to show things.
The hotel is the one that I think could work the best, but I mean, like, the ski, like, military base and the rainy city are too big to put on stage, I think. I think you'd want to find a way to have all three locations be somewhat enclosed, smaller locations that you could make work on stage better.
Okay. What do you open Act 2 with? Because it has to be a song that really doesn't have much to do with the plot.
It should be the reveal that he has a militarized subconscious, like he's already been trained, Fisher.
I mean, it could be like them successfully completing the job and like everything's going too well, and then it ends abruptly when you have like the failure and the training and the dream.
Something like that, because it's a plot element, but it's not that important.
Well, it ends with the plot element, which is the reason why I think, like, having it being successful in whatever way and then ending with, like, oh, no, we're not quite out of the woods yet.
Let Eames open it then. And he's, like, he's doing something and then...
Goofier.
And then
like,
he's...
A little goofier than the movie.
And then he starts getting attacked, like, out of nowhere. And he's like, oh, no.
Like, we set up all the dream rules. Like, you can pull anything out of anywhere and do a lot of, like, magician tricks to do that.
Well, he's the disguise guy as well. You could do something fun where he's, like, changing costumes or something, too.
Right, or even changing actors to try to make it look like it's the same guy. Things like that, and then it just kind of goes to hell real quick.
Yeah.
All right. And then, basically, we just jump down levels. And I think the great idea would be to kind of... still have those levels in place, like going in super slow motion as they go down all on stage at once would be a really cool theatrical trick and be a gimmick enough to keep people in there. And especially since we've condensed Act 2 so much, it wouldn't be unfeasible to do.
Yeah. Really, I think the whole, since a lot of it is action set pieces, a lot of it can be trimmed pretty heavily. And I think a lot of what we need to move towards and focus on is things like Mal messing things up, like with on level one with the train coming through. We could have something, it's not that, but something similar to that happen.
Mal could just be the one that shoots like Saito, like literally that quick, that easy.
Yeah, yeah, something just like that. What else was there that's really important that you have to get to? I think there needs to be more teasing of the idea they're trying to plant into Fisher, like the you need to break up your company and use the father-son element of that to really tug the heartstrings kind of thing, you know?
Right, right. I think Fisher needs his like own proper song in this, outside of that like teasing of a song that we could just call like "Not My Father's Son" or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like that's already a song in a different show, but
that's in Kinky Boots. Yeah.
But sure, sure, we can just steal from Kinky Boots. I mean, I'm sure they won't mind.
We'll ask what's her name? What is her name? The girls just want to have fun. Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper.
Permission.
Well, Cyndi Lauper can write this show too. We're fine with it.
Oh my God, Cyndi Lauper writing Inception the musical? I would be so down for that.
I mean,
all right. So this is all building up to the 11 o'clock number. And in your opinion, what is the climax of the movie? The movie.
Okay. The climax is, there's kind of two climaxes that happen back to back. And that's the confrontation with Mal and then followed immediately by Fisher opening the vault.
I feel like those are like a good moment where we can pay off both.
I think you could even have them both sing the same song, and it's happening
up
on
with.
Stage at the same time.
My God, we're geniuses! Well, they both sing. I can't remember their face, and except he's singing about Mal, and then his father is singing about like. Just the faces of the men he's seen. And they both come to their catharsis and resolve both their arcs at the same time. And then after that point, it's just wrapping up and getting to the final number.
Then you have the duet with Saito, that song comes back to get him out.
Yes. And then... What is it? A Leap of Faith. Like, one more time, they bring the Leap of Faith thing back, which is just kind of like, all right, we're wrapping up.
And
like,
I think to double down on the movie, the kids aren't even characters in this. There's no kid actors or anything. You never see them.
No.
It ends with...
You hear their voices, like, on the phone call and all that, or, like, giggling,
yeah.
Like, that kind
it
of
It ends
haunting
with
him,
him, like, leaving the airport, and we don't really know what happens.
And we still need to kind of find a way to do the totem ending. Maybe even just hearing the totem spinning and not knowing.
I think that's really all you'd have to do, yeah.
Like, we have to set that up as, like, a sound cue every single time that is really, really prevalent and effective.
Yeah, and we also just, we need to get, what are the horns that they use? We have to have one of those horns in the orchestra to just make that low pwah all the time.
No, I disagree.
That's more of a...
But we're gonna...
More of a joke.
We're gonna
check.
Use that... Do you know how that worked, though, in the movie, though?
Yeah, I can't say I paid that much attention to the score. Of everything in Inception, the score is kind of the least interesting part to me, but...
I disagree.
Okay.
So, you know that song that they sing for the kick? Like, oh my... The French song.
Yes.
If you slow it down, as they imply by going deeper into that, you get the Inception score. The brom. So that was how they came up with the score. The deeper down, the lower it gets, the louder it gets.
What is that song?
So
it's like, da, 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 or something like that. They never play
the
whole
thing.
Yeah,
the French. But that was what Hans Zimmer was going for with that score. It wasn't just like, this sounds cool. It was influenced by the story and all that. So I'm thinking you take like the songs that were sung on a specific level. You give each dream level its own sound, and as you go down, it gets like slower down and more deep and all that, but it's still just a variation of the last dream level. Ooh. So it's using the same language as the film to the same effect, but with different music.
Okay, I'm into that. I think we have a good structure here.
Okay. Who do you get to compose this musical, I think, is the next thing. Who would be your composer? I think we already said Cyndi Lauper.
I don't think Cyndi Lauper would actually be great for this. Honestly, I don't...
You want to hear my dumb pitch that I think could actually pull it off?
I'm wondering what type of style I'd want it to be. With it being like an action movie, probably more of a rock style, I guess.
I think you're actually going to kind of see where I'm coming from with this one, but I'm standing by it.
Okay.
Because they give off the same impression of very high confidence and ability to handle complexity and show-offiness, and it's Jason Robert Brown. I think he could pull this off.
Do you think he'd be too proud to do something like this, though?
No. He did Honeymoon in Vegas and A League of Their Own, and he did the first pass of the King Kong musical. He is not too proud.
Oh, that's great, then. I mean, I haven't heard that much by him. I know last 5 years and... Parade. I think Parade, that style could kind of work in this.
I think like a little bit more modernized version of Parade would knock this out of the park.
Yeah. It's definitely
so Jason
it's got to be a more
Inception,
of a dramatic
the musical.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be more dramatic. So I think I could agree with that. You don't want to be too dramatic though, but I'm sure he could pull that off.
I mean, he's a talented guy, and he's not afraid to do movie adaptations. And I think this is a big enough buy. Like, Andrew Lloyd Webber is the, like, dumb, obvious choice. And
I don't think he'd
do
a great job. I think he would write, like, a really, really solid ballad-type power ballad for Cobb, and that would be, like, a song everyone would like, but I think the whole show wouldn't be that great.
If you want the alternative opinion, that would also be good, but not a good representation of what the film was, it would be Tim Minchin, who would come in and bring a lot of comedic stylings and a bit of rock sensibility to it, but it would be clever as opposed to story.
Yeah, which could work, because, I mean, realistically, the story in this isn't that complex, especially when you aren't able to do the, like, really over-the-top action sequences that they did in the movie.
But I do think Tim Minchin is more focused on songs rather than a musical idea, whereas Jason Robert Brown would definitely get off on the idea that the songs get slower every time. He likes a challenge in that way.
Oh, yeah,
Tim Minchin,
and I mean, somebody who could
lyrical.
Play... Someone who could play with tempo and things like that would have a blast with this sort of concept and could probably pull off some really cool stuff that we didn't even think of here.
Exactly. So that is Jason Robert Brown's Inception the Musical as pitched by us. What do you think we should do next on our next episode of Make Me a Musical? We don't know how often we'll post this, but we do kind of want to do this pretty consistently as a sister series to Musicals with Cheese. That'll post the Monday before we post our regular episodes on Thursday.
I'm
so
sure
if you got more ideas, send it our way.
Suggestions.
I am down for strange suggestions.
No, don't,
can I spoil
to
them what we're doing next week?
Why don't you? Because what I don't want to happen is I don't want us to only get requests for movies.
Yes. Next week's episode of Make Me a Musical is a musical on the keto diet. The Keto Diet the Musical.
I'm actually glad we're not going to be recording that back to back because I want to do a little bit of research before that one.
So that's what you have to look forward to next week. Tell us what you think of this little sister show that we're trying out. If you've got anything you'd like to send us, shoot us an email or send us a message on Twitter. We love you guys to death. Andrew, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this on up?
I love all of you. Thank you for watching.
All right.
Or listening.
Yes, listening. They can't see
they
us.
They can't
right
see
now.
Us.
Or
just,
can
they? Jess can't even see me. I'm a picture of Alf right now.
All right, we'll see you guys.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.